Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Our text for this evening. I have these very fond memories of Thanksgiving when I was growing up as a kid. You know, we'd all meet at grandma's house and we'd eat so much food that it started to hurt. And then, you know, we'd take a little bit of a time to just kind of lay around and just visit for a bit. And then all of a sudden we'd get out the board games and then the hunger would start to come on again. So you'd eat dessert. It was wonderful. And then you'd go to the other grandparents' house, who only lived three doors down, and you'd get dessert again. It's wonderful. I'm so thankful that I have memories of not only this holiday, but many holidays, and oftentimes they kind of shared the same sort of trajectory. I'm certain you have fond memories of your holiday celebrations as well. Memories that have lasted you maybe even a lifetime. There's a lot to be thankful for. This is good. And it's good that we live in a country where we have plenty. So much, in fact, that we can have almost anything. Almost anything we want, we can get. It's not all that hard. But as we come to Thanksgiving especially, we're encouraged to think about these things. To think about how good we actually have it. To think about what we're really thankful for. And so, as I'm certain you'll do tomorrow, or maybe you already have, we take a moment for self-reflection. We think about what we should truly be thankful for. And I've heard some families, and my family's done this in the past at one time or another too, but they'll go around the Thanksgiving table and say what they were most thankful for that year. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. The problem is that, you know, sometimes at Thanksgiving, we don't really feel all that thankful. Or, you know, maybe 6 months from now, when we're all kind of like really getting over this whole like cold weather thing, we'll really just kind of want to be not thankful for what we have. As sinful human beings, we get this tendency to be discontent with what God has actually given us. Sometimes we feel depressed or angry. Sometimes we feel doubt and despair. Sometimes we have hurt and pain in this life, and it seems too much to bear. And in those times, thankfulness is the furthest thing from our mind. Who here was thankful for the last time they stubbed their toe? Who here was thankful for the last time they felt the pangs of hunger or had to deal with the death of a loved one? Those things don't make us thankful. We too easily forget that whether life is good or bad, or even if it's just simply neutral and droning on, God is the great provider, in good and in bad. He's ensuring that we have all that we need. He's ensuring that we have everything that is good for us, not just everything that we might want. See, for our entire lives until this point, God has been providing for you and for me. We consider who God is and what he has done. It's absolutely stunning. First off, God has made you. You and all creatures, he's given you body and soul, eyes, ears, and all your members, your reason and all your senses, and still takes care of them. He also has given you clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that you have. He richly and daily provides you with all that you need to support your body and life. This is just the first article of the creed. This is just the stuff that we get to see in this temporal existence. There's still more. There's even more than that that God has given us. But the poor sinners that we are, we don't often give him the praise he's due. You probably already know what this feels like, though. I mean, if you've ever given a gift to someone, and especially if that person is a young child, you know exactly what this looks like, right? You give a child a gift, and what is the first thing they do? That, you know, their eyes light up, and maybe if it's wrapped up, they'll rip the paper off, and that's when the moment of truth comes. Are they excited about what they found under that paper, or are they disappointed? I mean, if they're disappointed, if they're not excited, I mean, then the gift gets neglected anyway. Like, moving on. Is there another gift I can open somewhere around here? Right? It's just, there's no thanks there at all. But if they are excited about their gift, oh boy, this is great, right? Now you'll actually get thanked, right? Of course not. Right? The eyes, the emotions, the thankfulness, normally it's not directed towards the giver of the gift. It's directed towards the gift itself. I'm thankful for this thing that I have because it's awesome, and more importantly, because it's mine. That's what makes me thankful, is that I have possession of it, not that someone gave it to me. You've lived this, right? Where you give somebody something, they're really excited, but the thankfulness, you know, maybe it comes as an afterthought. Or, you know, especially with the kids, right? Then the adults step in. Don't forget to say thank you. Gross, right? That's disgusting. I mean, and the person who gave the gift is like, well, I know this isn't genuine now. Like, it doesn't mean anything to the person who gave the gift after the kid has to be cajoled into doing it. It's not sincere. It's a lie. And you can be sure that the giver of the gift knows that. Now, again, before I go any further, you should teach your kids manners, right? Kids need to be taught how to have good manners. But it's not about the words that come out of their mouth. It's about the humility that you want them to learn. We don't just want our kids to mind their P's and Q's. We want them to be humble enough to say it and actually mean it. Which then we reflect on ourselves. We're children. Children of God. We're tempted into the same thing with all of the wonderful gifts that he gives to us. We can look at those gifts and we can just be discontent, right? Meh, nah, no thanks there. I'm not all excited about what God gave me now. Or rather, the other thing is that we'll look at everything we have and we get excited about it, not because God is the great giver of all the good things, but because what we have is awesome and because it's our possession. But we very rarely look through those things to give God the thanks. Now we're here on the eve of Thanksgiving, and you're listening to this sermon about how thankful you should be. Am I like the parent stepping in? Don't forget to say thank you. That's gross, right? There's danger that this sermon even might elicit an insincere thank you. Is our thanks really all that sincere if we have to force ourselves to set aside a day to remember to give it? How awful would it be if, you know, your family plays that game at Thanksgiving or everybody goes around the table and it comes to you or you're like, I got to think up something really good, and then you draw a blank. Like, how embarrassing would that be? See, the reason I bring all of this up is not because I think that you're going to be perfectly thankful in your life. I don't think that's possible. I don't think we can ever give God enough thanks. We'll always fall short. And so don't think you need to do better tomorrow, because you don't. It's not so we can say that this has been the most thankful of thanksgivings that we've ever known. No. God's word says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." If you want to express your appreciation to the Lord this year, then recognize him as your God and shepherd. Recognize that you have fallen short of giving him perfect thanks, and own it. Repent of it. Know that you've fallen short, and that the only way you can truly be thankful is to receive Christ's forgiveness. And honestly, you're all on the right track already, because you've gathered here to hear the absolution to receive the supper, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But to come to listen to a sermon, to come to have God's word invested into your life on the day before Thanksgiving, that takes humility. Not just minding your P's and Q's, but actually recognizing that you need something from God. That's true thankfulness. Not by compulsion, not because a special day in the calendar, but you've simply recognized that God is good to you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That goodness certainly looks like all the daily bread things that we heard at the beginning of the sermon. It includes all of the family and friends and clothing and shoes, and very likely there'll be a feast tomorrow. Yet his goodness, as I said, it goes beyond just physical blessings. God sends his son Jesus into the world. You know, and I said, like, I don't want you to do this just because you're being compelled to, right? And this is the great love of God, okay? God shows his love for us, and even that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even when he knew we would be imperfect, even when we knew that our thankfulness would fall far short, he still loved us enough to give us the gift anyway. It's blessing upon blessing. God is the only one who can forgive our sins, who can pick us up out of discontentment. And he does it through Jesus. Jesus opens the way to everlasting life. He pays for your sins by his blood shed and his death on the cross. And even then, he guarantees your victory over death by rising from the grave. He institutes baptism. That way we have something physical to cling to, because we're such physical creatures. And so he combines that word and that promise with water. And he combines his word and his promise with a meal. And it doesn't seem like a meal, right? I mean, a wafer of bread and hardly an ounce of wine. But in that we have all of God's goodness, all of his grace, all of his mercy, and all of his forgiveness. Jesus has taken us poor, unthankful, discontent creatures, and without expecting any thanks in return, he lifts us up to a place of sonship. He washes us in those waters of baptism, and he declares over and over again that you are forgiven. He sets you at a good place in God's kingdom. Nothing can take that away. Even in those times where our thankfulness undulates into unthankfulness, Jesus is still your Savior, and he still loves you in spite of your sin, and he will from now until all eternity. You feeling humble? Because when we recognize how undeserved all of God's gifts are, do you know what naturally flows from our lips? You know what naturally flows out of our lives? It sounds a lot like this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your thanksgiving in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.